as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct you prayerfully to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews chapter 10 and reading verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What a mercy to be unable to have a measure of precious faith like we have been reading, part reading of these characters in the chapter 11. And so we realize that God-given faith never faileth. And though we've tried, and though we've been singing of these characters, these bore witness, you see, they marked out the footsteps that Christ has trod, and his zeal inspired their breast. Now there's a very great danger of fleshly zeal. And we believe we've experienced it with characters over the years. They have a zeal without knowledge. They're so bent, dear friends, on attending religious meetings. They have their religious ideas of the meaning of Scripture. But they seem to lose sight of lifting to the object of faith, which is Jesus Christ and him only. And to be given, dear friends, this spiritual zeal, we shall hasten to the place where he unveils his lovely face. And we have, of course, as it reads here, we have need of patience. We get it in our hearts that we want to see Jesus. But is it the desire to be seen of men? Or is it we come with a desire that our souls might be nourished and fed with a living faith and with a realization that Jesus Christ is the one thing needful? You and I in our daily lives are in need of certain things, of products, of things in our life, and continually will do to satisfy the needs of the flesh. But what of our spiritual desires? Have we these real desires to see Jesus? Are we seeking him because we have the authorship of his faith? If he's the author, dear friends, and we read it in the Word of God, he's the author and the finisher of faith. And we live that life of faith by prayer. And we believe in prayer and have received answers of prayer. As so many glibly say, we've only got to pray and it will be done. They have no desire really to serve the Lord. They forget his day and do all manner of things to suit the gratification of the flesh. But as a seeking soul, you'll realize we've all got to lay down and die. And our never dying soul will go up to the judgment seat. And we need those credentials. Clear. We need the blessed Spirit of truth to have revealed to us these credentials. We read of one that reached the very gates of heaven and was turned away because he had not those clear credentials. He had not had the pardon of his sins. He had a name to live and be dead. And there's such a danger of this religion, dear friends, that is only in the mind and not in the soul, as you will be very much acquainted of that, if you and I know a little of that faith of God's elect. And so, if the Lord calls you by his grace, you'll come as a beggar begging that the Lord will grant you a real religion. Things might truly be known and felt. And what a mercy if you have these breathings of the Holy Spirit upon you, breathing in your soul those desires to see Jesus and to have this real living faith, which you won't cast away, but you see how he says here that you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companions of them that were so used. But you were brought there, for you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. This is that living faith, an enduring substance. As we read this morning, as he said, this faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, where are your hopes and mine today? On getting gain here below, or having an interest in the blood of Christ? To be attracted to Christ, to have his name, as it were, applied with power to your soul. Instead of the attitude of the world to him that won't have him to reign over them, your soul and mine is desiring to see him, to hear his voice, to be able to say, I trust it shall be well in my soul while life endure, and well when called to die. Because we're pressing, dear friends, to the marks of grace, or to the end that will come to all flesh and all those that are out of the covenant. It's vital that we have, dear friends, that we're not left to fall into the hands of the living God and perish in our sins, because our religion is counterfeit. It's like we counterfeit money. It's almost perfect, but there's something lacking and in the difference. And so we need to be very conscious in our exercises, in our prayers at the throne of grace, that we might be subject to that living faith. He says here, without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, we need then to ask the Lord, and if we have this living faith, it'll live and labour under low, though damned it will never die. And this confidence of faith, look at the confidence. As we read in these characters this morning, of Abraham, of Sarah, and also how that God was able even to offer up his seed, Isaac, that he's going to make a multitude of nations with. Oh, how Abraham must have been much tried. But there was that, you see, at that final moment, that ram caught in the thicket. The wonders God alone can do. And no doubt you can record yourselves in your own mind how the Lord has appeared of old. How he's encouraged you still to believe. And yet still the old devil, as a roaring lion, comes in some difficulty you might encounter, in some adversity. And you realise you're born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But there's a measure of confidence. Lord, you humbly remind him at the throne of grace, Lord, didst thou not reveal thyself to me, maybe many years or back, but something, Lord, changed in my heart that made me seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. There was a measure of confidence that it was the Lord's doing. You had to acknowledge it. A deliverance. A way made for you where there seemed to be no way. A healing touch. A restoring mercy. A door open before you, but prior to that had been shut before you. But oh, what a mercy that these things. The Lord had compassion upon you. The Lord heard your cry, strengthened your weak hands, confirmed your feeble knees, and said unto you of a fearful heart, fear not, thy God will come. He's not yet come, but he will come and have compassion upon you. And therefore, this gave you confidence. He dropped a word, a promise into your soul. He led you to Christ. He saw your only hope was in him to live and move and have your being. And he could say unto your soul, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Oh, what a mercy. If you have known and you've known that you've that long cloud of witnesses that have gone before, some in your family circles, you're persuaded that the Lord has taken them to glory. In the world they've had tribulation, but it worked patience, sanctified affliction and trials, and you proved how the Lord brought them through, and they died in hope, and that hope would make it not a shame, because the love of God was shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Blessed be the Lord. Because this confidence of faith that the Lord had spoken to you, that the Lord had taken a word and sealed it upon your soul, which had great recompense of reward. See the Lord blessing you with those tokens of his love. And you know he won't withdraw those promises, because they're yea and amen in Christ. And he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come. Oh, we have to bless the Lord with the little hope that we have, with this confidence of faith, that this is the Lord's doing. The Lord's doing, marvellous in your eyes. And so it was with the case of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and solemnly Esau. Lord, he sought it carefully with tears. Yet it was not with a broken heart and contrite spirit, because he feared not God. And this all rests with God's elect, chosen whom he would before the foundation of the world, that they might live to show forth his praise, and with you yourselves. He's bought you with a price. And if you get a conscious feeling and exercise that the Lord has shed his blood for your sins and mine, what a humbling effect it will have upon your soul. Jesus sought you when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to save your soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, the invaluable blood of Christ, without money, without price. Oh, what a privileged soul. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. As I said and emphasized, this is not fleshly confidence, dear friends. This is the Spirit of the Lord that humbles you before him, that you might be exalted in due time, casting all your care upon him. Oh, what a Savior. And what a mercy you can feel that union and communion with him from sometimes and off the mercy seat. For he says you have need of patience. Oh, you see, it's letting patience have a perfect work, that you be entire, wanting nothing. You can't add anything to it, can you? But it's what the Lord gives you. You add nothing. And you go on your way rejoicing and praising. The Lord has condescended to bless you with a real token of his love. Oh, this love of Christ. Oh, plead for it, friends. Want that blessed token of his love. Show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Tell me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. We mix with those, dear friends, that we don't see any signs and evidences of grace. But you never know, dear friends, the time of love can surely come to them as it has you trust to you. So And be very careful how you judge. We need to judge righteous judgment. And you have to wonder why you were ever called by grace, why you ever had a desire. So cast not away your confidence of the truth of God's word. We're blessed with an open Bible. Men despise it. Men reject it. Men fathom out all their interpretations of it. But do remember, interpretations belong unto God, and the Spirit can only interpret his word to your understanding and mine. Casting all your care upon him, that he might enable you and me to sow in tears, that you might yet reap in joy. And oh, how we bear this precious fruit, dear friends of the gospel. Solemn responsibility upon one, and yet our dependence must be not upon our natural wisdom. Grace given to observe the steadfastness of faith. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Oh, how we need the Lord to give us this faith. These things that suddenly befall us, these trials. And ask the Lord that he would appear for our friend and also for ourselves. Have that faith to believe that all our times are in his hands, all events at his command. Though we have trials of faith to prove, what a blessed gift is the gift of faith, to trust him for his faithfulness and commit our cares into his all-wise hands, to feel the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath those everlasting arms to support and sustain us. A time is set to heal up our woes, a season most fit his love to dispose. So we hold fast this blessed confidence of faith, that you are persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That these things might truly be the means of confirming your soul and mine, that we're in that way that ultimately leads to everlasting life. Well, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. He may try us and try our faith. But what a mercy. The Lord sees fit to try our faith, but to bring us through these trials. Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring us to his feet to lay us low and keep us there, because there is a reward. The reward is with God, that we need that grace to be steadfast, to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, searching the scriptures, praying that the Lord would take his word and seal it upon our souls, that we have some confidence of faith, that the Lord has abundantly blessed us with these visits, these tokens of his love. It may be in providence. The way has been made for you where it seemed impossible for there to be a way for you. He has healed you, he's restored you, he strengthened you and upheld you with the right hand of his righteousness. And he bids you and me continually to wait upon the Lord to renew your strength, to go in the strength of the Lord, to make mention even of his righteousness. All this confidence then that the Lord is the one thing needful. He's engraved it upon your heart and mine. He has taught you to trust in him at all times and pour out your heart before him. Oh, what a mercy then. Though we get cast down, yet our hope is in thee. And we're looking for that country that everlasting country, that new heaven and new earth wherein righteousness. This is the ultimate desire of a seeking soul, that we might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. As he saw you ruining the fall, he'll love you notwithstanding all his loving kindness, oh how great. Blessed be the Lord then, that he's had compassion on you. He's had compassion upon you and brought you to feel, thou, O Christ, art all I want, all in all, in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, and bless me with thy grace. So what a mercy if you have a little faith that rests upon promises, that rests upon what the Lord has revealed to you, that has told you, in even through his word, taken the word and shown you that he is the way, the truth and the life. And exercise your soul and mine in seeking pardon, seeking forgiveness, seeking to know the way where he would have you and me to walk. Trust in him for his faithfulness. Oh, what a blessed gift is faith then, which you through mercy possess the substance then of these things hopeful. Your hope built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Cast it not away, friend. Look upon these things. Look upon the Word of God. And search the Scriptures. And wait for the Lord in that set time to comfort your troubled heart and say, stand still and see the salvation of your God. Be still and know that I am God. Sit still, my daughter, and know how the matter will fall. What a blessed privilege to be enabled to bring these hard things to the Lord and realize that the Lord has caused it to come, all to make you and me wise unto salvation through faith in Christ, which hath great recompense of reward. It's looking unto Jesus. Oh, that he might be made more and more attractive to your soul and mine. With your flesh and my flesh, we serve the law of sin. But with your mind, you serve the law of God. What's this law? It's the teaching of the law. The teaching of the Lord to number your days, to apply your hearts and mind unto wisdom. Oh, to also to consider him. Oh, when we think of the object of faith, Jesus crucified for such sinners as you and me, what suffering. Came amongst his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be the sons of God by blessed adoption. Oh, what a saviour. What a mercy to have a little hope in your soul and mine that he's begun this good work. You are persuaded. Paul was brought there, wasn't he? He was persuaded that nothing could separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. This is what you need, don't you? And what you trust, I hope you have at times. You are persuaded that he is the one thing needful. He's engraved upon the fleshly tables of your heart. He has certainly applied his word. The entrance of his word has given light and understanding to your poor, simple soul and mine. Oh, what a saviour. And what a mercy. Your hopes and mine are built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And we'll leave it there for the time, friends. May the Lord bless his own word and forgive our sins for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us conclude with hymn 339, the tune is Haslingden 544. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Unchangeable His will, whatever be my frame. His loving heart is still eternally the same. My soul through many changes goes. His love no variation knows. Three, nine.